This is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. If you know the name Andy Warhol, chances are good that you know the soup cans and the images of Marilyn Monroe. Those were just a couple of the images that the New York-based artist made into indelible pieces of our pop culture. But a new exhibition at the High Museum shows that Warhol means much more to American art. I visited the galleries with the High's curator of modern and contemporary art, Michael Rooks, to learn more.
In this early work, we see Andy Warhol's biography begin to reveal itself.
Curator Michael Rooks is showing us around the exhibit, and the first thing he highlights isn't one of Warhol's famous album covers or Chairman Mao. It's a series of lithographs, simple line drawings reminiscent perhaps of the work of James Thurber. It's a series called Love is a Pink Cake. And Rooks points out that even in the early 1950s, Warhol lived as an openly gay man in a time when homosexuality was still persecuted.
It's an illustrated book that tells a number of different stories of star-crossed lovers, including one gay couple. And so he inserts the sort of transgressive, countercultural aspects of his own life into this early illustration work. For me, one of the interesting things that happens when you have a survey exhibition of Andy Warhol's work is that the person really reveals himself in the work. And I think a lot of people who know of Warhol, they know Interview Magazine, Studio 54, that he's very much a person about surface, and I think a lot of people may think he's a very shallow person. I think, in fact, he was a brilliant and shy person, and his work reflected not only his life, but the culture at large.
In the next gallery, we encounter Warhol's iconic Campbell's soup silk screens. But on another wall are two much darker prints. One, an image of police dogs attacking an African-American man during the Birmingham Peace March. The other, a collage of images of Jacqueline Kennedy in a black veil.
Yeah, so it's Jackie Kennedy as a grieving widow, as opposed to the image of the First Lady as a proud and glamorous First Lady. So, and this again is an early print, and these three images of Jackie Kennedy rather, and the print titled Birmingham Race Riot, were giveaways. He made them as a way to market his work in these exhibitions and to also signal that he is going in this direction, which was radical at the time. It's like, not only am I promoting my show, but I'm sending out into the world these copies of these prints of my work that tell you that I am looking at our culture for source material, reprocessing it, and serving it back up for our, you know, consumption.
Michael, for people who are not familiar with collecting, many of us associate an original masterpiece as one of a kind. Wasn't Andy Warhol flying in the face of what collectors covet?
It was absolutely, it was a provocation. It was a deliberate and really aggressive provocation of the whole idea about what art is supposed to be. It's supposed to be it's supposed to be unique, it's supposed to reveal some kind of hidden genius that the rest of us normal human beings, us mortals, can just sometimes maybe grasp, but we don't understand the full meaning of it. So to make multiples, to blur the line between the original, authentic, and the copy, radical change, but also to again draw his source material from popular culture, things that we immediately recognize and can understand and inflect them with maybe the emotional gravitas that this image of Jackie Kennedy has was really radical.
As Rook said at the outset, those with passing familiarity with Warhol may think only of the surface image, but this undercurrent of tragedy and violence is present in much of his work. In the next gallery, we walk through the doorway into the High's enormous open space, dominated by Empire, Warhol's film of a static shot of the Empire State Building. There are the famous Marilyns, but on the opposite wall, a series of prints of an electric chair.
I love this gallery because it signals that Warhol was someone who understood that there was this dark side to American life at the time. We're looking at an electric chair. It was the electric chair that the Rosenbergs were executed in at Sing Sing.
Even those portraits of Marilyn Monroe are not untouched by tragedy.
The Marilyn portfolio is something that I think people are really very familiar with the Marilyn images in Warhol's work, and this portfolio is one of the most important portfolios. And actually, he began using these images of Marilyn a week after she committed suicide. So I think what, for me, comes through in this portfolio is the sense of the tragic. The repetition of the image creates a kind of staccato, or a kind of rhythm that is unrelenting, that take you from one to the next, and you begin to recognize a mask, and that the person behind it is gone. She's no longer there. And so for Warhol, this is kind of the celebration of life, but also the mourning of the loss of this star. And he worshipped stars, and he was obsessed by celebrity and fashion. And if you spend time with it, as we're doing now, not a whole lot of time, you begin to understand that there are many different layers to peel back to understand that it's not just this icon we're looking at, but it is an image of ourselves, our own obsession with celebrity and scandal and fashion and fame.
But audiences aren't hit over the head with gloom. There's plenty of opportunity to simply enjoy the layer of glitz and glamour so prevalent in Warhol's work. One corner of the gallery could easily be mistaken for a record store.
We have listening stations as well. So in this gallery, we have about 20 album covers that Warhol designed. And we created these listening stations so new generations of audience members can listen to the Smiths or, you know, Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin. And then, of course, the Racy album cover for the Rolling Stones with a zipper that actually works, so you can explore if you wish to.
Oh my.
Warhol wallpaper he made. We wanted to create environments in the installation. We have a certain latitude to do that because that the work really calls for it. In this case, with the Mao portfolio, he produced the wallpaper as well and first showed his Mao paintings on top of this wallpaper.
Mao is so fitting because wasn't it Mao who talked or coined the phrase the cult of celebrity?
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. There's a marriage made in heaven with Mao and Warhol in still another room of the exhibit. The walls gleam silver and are splashed with figures and graffiti.
Essentially, the space is meant to evoke the spirit of the Silver Factory, which was the studio, the walls, the ceiling, everything was silver, whether it was covered in silver foil or painted silver. And then the walls were then often graffitied by the denizens of the factory and visitors. So we invited five artists from Atlanta to come in and graffiti the walls, and they've done a brilliant job. We asked Brian Egan, who was the founder of Mammal Gallery, to get a crew of artists from Mammal Gallery to come down and work with us. So it was Brian Egan, Dan Dewberry, Lauren Barfield, Chris McGrath, and Kadir Lawrence.
Would you talk about the gun?
Yeah, there is this silkscreen of a gun. It looks like a 38. And it is sort of a haunting image, you know, after you understand that Warhol was shot in 1968 by Valerie Solanas. And after that near-death, violent incident, he became more withdrawn than he was during the Silver Factory years. And his circle of acquaintances and friends became smaller because, he was not as willing to be out in the public like that to risk his life, perhaps. But became more of the shy, retiring kind of person that he was as a young man. So this image of the gun, which is off-center, it's to the left, justified to the left, which suggests a kind of movement and a kind of direction, as if it's being poked toward the left by a hand, suggests a kind of a violence in a way. It's not just a picture of a gun, it's a gun that's aimed at something. And has this kind of potential, this potential for violence.
In terms of Warhol's influence today, do you think it's even greater than it was during his lifetime?
I think it is continuing to strengthen. The influence of Warhol is so strong because he was prescient in his recognition that the image. That we are an image culture and that we consume images and they hold a power, not a symbolic power, but a very real power that's connected to whether it's desire or philosophy, our own sort of value system as Americans, what have you. But very specific objects and images have very specific meanings that he plugged into immediately. And I think that is still something that we understand even more intuitively today because we are such a crazy image-driven culture today.
That was curator Michael Brooks of the High Museum. Their exhibit, Andy Warhol Prints from the Collections of Jordan D. Schnitzer and his Family Foundation, is on view now through September 3rd.